Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to talk to you just a little bit more on what we talked about Sunday. If you've been with us on Sunday, you know we're in a series on Mark. We came to the story of the feeding of the 5,000, which is one of the most significant miracles in the Bible. It is the only miracle in the Gospels that's mentioned in all four Gospels outside of Jesus' death and resurrection, which tells you the import of it in terms of the Bible. And I would suggest that it is the most significant miracle he did, again, outside of his death and resurrection, because it impacted 20,000 people at one time. It's just very, very interesting to think about that. And what I sensed as, not only as I studied and prepared, and I mean, how many times have I preached on the feeding of the 5,000 through the years? I mean, several times, at least four that I know of, because we've preached our way through the New Testament. But I really felt as I was preparing, starting 10 days ago, just reading it and studying it, because, you know, you never want to take a passage for granted. You never want to think, oh, I know. Because the scriptures, it's multifaceted. It's like if you hold a diamond up to the light, and you see the different shafts of light and the cuts of the diamond, and you see its brilliance from different angles. The scriptures like that. Scripture stories are like that. We err and we miss out if we think, well, I've read it before, I already know that, so we don't pay attention, we don't stop and think, because every single time that we go into God's Word, God has new things to show us, new things that He wants to teach us, that He wants to make real to us. And so as I've been looking at it and thinking about it, I've just been honestly every single day thinking about the feeding of the 5,000. And I really felt as I spoke Sunday, as I prepared, and then as I spoke, that God was using it to speak to people's hearts, and it's been interesting, the conversations I've had. What I want to do tonight, just shortly, just briefly, talk a little more about it, and on the subject of how do miracles happen? How do miracles happen? Remember, we said that the key verse in Mark's account is verse 37, where Jesus says to them, "You give them something to eat." God wants to do miraculous things through every single person here. Ministry happens, miracles happen when human need encounters divine resource through loving, faith-filled channels to the glory of God. That's what it takes to see a miracle. And if we're going to minister to people, if we're going to see God's power work through us, there are some things that you and I have to avoid. We have to be aware of how the enemy wants to keep us from really walking in the will of God to see the miracle take place. So I want to give you just three things to avoid. Number one, don't look at the size of the task. Listen to the words of Jesus. Don't look at the size of the task. Listen to the words of Jesus. Listen to this in John chapter 6. "Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. And lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?'" What he's saying is, "Philip, I see the crowd coming and I want to feed them." That's what he is saying. What Philip sees is Philip sees the size of the crowd, and he says, "Listen, that's impossible. That can't be done." What he didn't focus on was Jesus' intent that he wanted to feed the crowd. And if Jesus wants to feed the crowd, guess what? Everybody's eating. Not only eating, they're eating as much as they want. Because Philip says, well, hey, you know, you could have over a half a year's wage and nobody, and everybody just gets maybe a bite, maybe. He forgot the words of Jesus. You know, when God calls us to do something, or when God is speaking to us about something, I know sometimes when we really know it's the Lord and we sense it, and especially if we've thought about it, if he's kind of been preparing our heart, be very, very excited about it and say, oh, that's awesome. And then we begin to think of the enormity of it, and we can shrink back. Or in the moment, you think, okay, I want God to work through me. I want to see God do miracles through me and for his glory in the lives of people. And so what happens is we go out of there and we say, okay, God, I'm believing you for that. And then we encounter a need, and it's so big, we're like, oh man, my life, no, I'm not sure that, you know, and we're so caught up in the enormity of the need, or the severity of the need, or the size of the need, that we find ourselves more taken with that than we are with the prompting of the Spirit that caused us to move forward in the first place. If our eyes are more on the enormity of the task than they are on the words of Jesus, the size of what is in front of us, than they are on the words of Jesus, then a miracle is not going to happen. I mean, that you see that with the disciples. Let me give you a second principle. Don't look at the little that you have. Don't look at the little that you have. I mean, a lot of times what happens is people see the need and they're like, well, I don't think I can do that. You know, so either somebody needs a miracle, let's say of healing, and you're like, well, you know, I don't think my prayer life's very well, you know, forget about what your prayer life is or isn't. Pray. Get a good prayer life right then. That's not a bad thing to do, is it? Believe God answers prayer. Believe that God will work through you. If, you know, whatever the need is, don't look at the size of the task and don't look at the little that you have. Here's Philip, and he says this, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. He's like, man, Jesus, we don't have enough to meet the need. And then you have Andrew, and he says something similar, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. Boy, don't you wish there were a period there. But he says, but what are they for so many? In other words, what happens is all of the sudden he's more caught up in the little that he has rather than he is in what God can do with whatever we have. And so he talks himself out of it. Listen, here's what the enemy will do. Satan will try to derail us in two ways. He'll try to maximize the difficulty. Oh, it's a big, big problem. Too many people, too big. And then he'll try to minimize our resources. Can I just say this to you? If your response to a need is, I don't have the time or I don't have the ability, you are probably the very person God is calling to do it. You see, you thought because you said you didn't have the time or you didn't have the ability or you didn't have the resource that you counted yourself out. But You can't do that. Don't count yourself out if God hasn't counted you out. I mean, and the thing is, God delights in showing himself powerful in the midst of our weakness, because then when it's all said and done, you have to say, wow, look what God did, because I could have never done that, right? So don't look at the little you have. Third, don't leave the Lord out of the picture. You know, We fail every time if we forget that Jesus works through us as we place all that we have in his hands. You know, he can multiply your energy. He can multiply your time. He can multiply your ability. He can multiply your resource. He can multiply your effort. All we have to do is give it to him. Just give it to him. Whatever it is that you have, Now, here's the problem for most of us. Most of us want the Lord to work in advance. We want the Lord to give us the ability before we give him our availability. We want the Lord to do everything in advance. So here's the way it plays out in the feeding of the 5,000. What a lot of us would want is we'd want Jesus to say, poof, and there's a big pile of bread. And then poof, and there's a big pile of fish. And then when we see that he's already done a miracle, then we're happy to tell people about it or to participate in it. But that's not the way he works. I mean, what we'd want to do is we want to have the big pile of bread, and then we'd go get our basket, and we'd take it, and we'd serve the front row, and then when it was empty, we'd go back, because there's a miracle pile of bread there, and we'd go get it, and we'd serve the second row, and we'd be going back and forth, and we'd continue until the pile was empty and everybody was fed. But that'd be way more work. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus works differently than you and I humanly think of working. We want to start out full and end up empty. But Jesus wants us to start with nearly empty baskets and end up with full ones. He does it opposite from how we would do it. Can I suggest to you, it's way easier the way he does it? Is it easier to have a big pile of fish and try to pass it out? Or is it easier to have just a little bit of fish and watch him multiply it as you go? I'll take that route every time. Walking by faith is way easier if we'll just learn to live by faith and to trust him by faith and to accept that we don't need to take much with us or have much on us, that he is able to multiply our time, our energy, our ability, our resource. Listen, it's not what you have. It's will you give him what you have and watch him multiply it to the meeting of people's needs. That's the way he wants to work. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. You know, may God strengthen us and help us not to focus on the size of the task and not to focus on what we would say is a lack of or little resource, but to invite him in and to walk by faith and to say, God, listen, It's not seeing is believing. It's believing is seeing. It's stepping out in faith. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to trust God for this. I'm going to trust God for the meeting of that need. I'm going to trust God to give me the ability. He's given me the opportunity. He's given me the invitation. I'm going to trust that he's going to give me the ability, that he's going to give me the time, that he's going to give me the energy, that he's going to give me the strength, that he's going to give me the resource, that he's going to give me what I need to do what he's opened the door for me to do and invited me to do. And I'm not going to forget what he has said, that if he wants to feed people, if he wants to heal people, if he wants to touch people, if he wants to answer prayer, I'm not going to forget what he said. Jesus said this, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now that's very simple. If you ask in his name, he said that the things you've seen me do, greater things than these will you do because I go to the Father. And then he follows it up with that beautiful promise in John chapter 14 and verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said another place, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done for you, and nothing will be impossible. Listen, if you ask, live in that simplicity of faith that just says, let's ask God. And the freshness of faith that says, I believe it. and not worry about the what ifs or what we don't have or you know, how big the problem is or how big the circumstance is, but to just say, you know what? He can take little and make it much, and that's all that counts. I'm not the multiplier of it. I'm just the one who delivers it. He works through me to people, and that's what he wants to do in all of our lives. Amen.